the most powerful transformation tool that you have today is the way you think. The Bible says the way a man thinks, so is he.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, a ministry of Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're having a great evening. My name is Joshua Hollick, and tonight we are continuing in a series with Pastor Mark called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Calling. Pastor Mark's here with me live in the studio tonight. Good evening, Pastor Mark.
Good evening. Ready to get unstuck?
This has been a great series already, and we're going through seven sticking points through the life of Elijah, and we're talking about tonight distorted thinking. Do you need to rethink your thinking? Pastor Mark, who is this message for?
This message is for anybody that is stuck in a cycle of wrong thinking. And I think all of us go through seasons where we just are invaded by fear, worry, some sort of lie that gets a hold of our mind, and we just can't shake it. That's distorted thinking.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that even men of God like Elijah could get stuck in that type of a situation.
What amazes me about Elijah is how quickly it happened. He goes from the top of Mount Carmel, where he's just calling fire down from heaven, and within a few short hours, he's depressed. Not only this, Joshua, he's actually suicidal.
Pastor Mark, as you open up this message, would you just pray for someone listening tonight who needs to get unstuck?
Absolutely. So, Father, we pause even right now before the word is given. I know that there's someone right now that is absolutely trapped in a cycle of wrong thinking. They know it. They feel it. The enemy is gaining victory in their life because they don't have your thinking, but they have lies and deception. And so I pray that this message will help liberate some people so they can get unstuck, Lord, and into their ultimate call of serving you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's get into this message.
I want you to take your Bibles today, and I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 3 starts with a simple phrase that every single one of us in this auditorium can relate to. Elijah, this mighty man of God, Elijah who calls fire down from heaven, Elijah who appears on the mountain of transfiguration with Moses, Elijah who raises people from the dead, Elijah who parts the sea with his robe, it says Elijah was afraid. Elijah was afraid. There's not a person in this auditorium that cannot relate to fear. We've all been afraid at one time or another. Oh, we may not always admit that we're afraid, but all of us have experienced the emotion of fear. Typically, that emotion of fear is brought on by what we think, how we think. Sometimes what we're afraid of doesn't even make sense. It's all made up in our head. But how many of you know that what you fear, what you think affects how you feel? It may not even be real what you think, but it affects how you feel. Some of you, when you were small, you were afraid that somewhere in your bedroom closet, some monstrous creature lived there at night when the lights went off. How many of you were afraid of getting out of your bed at night because you thought something was going to grab your ankle from under the bed? And you just said, I'm not getting out of bed, because you, in your mind, you thought something lives under there. Now, as you grow up into adulthood, you understand that those are all fabricated things within your childlike mind. But when you're a child, that thinking affects the way you feel about life, affects the way you feel. And some of you had to have that little nightlight on when you went to bed at night. I'm not going to ask how many of you still have that little nightlight on, but probably some of you still do. Our thinking affects our feeling, and our feeling affects our behavior. I remember several years ago, being stuck in my thinking. And I remember how this spiraled down. We were meeting at the time at a rented auditorium. This was probably 15 years ago or so. We were meeting at a rental auditorium in the city. And we were struggling just to gather the congregation together and grow as a congregation. We had rented a big auditorium and we were trying to fill up that big auditorium. And then one Sunday, I got to church and some lady came up to me and they said, "Pastor, we got a problem." I said, "Well, what's the problem?" She said, "There's been a lice outbreak." And she said she had gloves, snap. She said, "We have to check the kids' heads because there's lice." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, it's in the public school, but now it's in Sunday school as well." So we had to tell every parent as they picked up their kids, "Hey, there's been someone with Sunday school with lice in their head." So that, you know, in Sunday school, they're checking for lice. And, you know, before you come into Sunday school, there's someone at the door say, "You can't come in unless we check your head." And after that service that day, I had several families. One family came up to me and said, "Pastor, you know, we've been thinking about moving and leaving." And someone else came up to me and said, "You know, we've been thinking about moving for a while and we're moving to this other place." And I'll never forget, the next Sunday we showed up at church and a bunch of people didn't show up to church because they were afraid of lice. A couple of people were leaving. And I'll never forget, you know how the enemy lies to you at times? And it could be one thought that triggers. And I remember after that Sunday thinking, "Lord, I knew this was going to happen. I'm going to show up next Sunday. It's going to be me and my wife. Maybe my mother-in-law. I don't even know if she's going to come. We're never going to be able to make an impact. People aren't committed. People are going to go." And I remember all that week how the enemy was just lambasting me about the people that you thought were going to stay are going to leave, and people that are going, and it's not going to happen, and this person's going to leave, and that person's going to leave, and you'll never be able to make an impact in anyone's life. And it was just a crazy little trigger thing, but the enemy got a hold of it, and he goes round and round and round and round. And round. Has it ever happened to you? You get a report from the doctor. He says, "I think I may have seen something." And pretty soon you start thinking, "Oh, I know what it is." Worst case scenario, do we have our funeral place picked out? Have we bought a lot in the cemetery? I probably have only 3 months. And you allow the thinking to go down and down and down. Someone at your job is laid off and you start thinking, "Me, I'm the next one." And you start thinking, "Yeah, my boss was saying this. I think he was looking at me a little bit bad. He was asking about my timesheet." And you start thinking, "I'm going to be fired next. I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage payment. And I'm not going to be able to survive. And what am I going to do?" And you start going down the road of fear-filled thinking. Because sometimes, when fear gets a hold of our life, it invades our thinking, it sabotages us. And let me tell you, you cannot have fear and faith on the same tightrope at the same time, because one knocks the other off. There comes a time where either fear is going to overcome or faith is going to overcome, but you can't have them both at the same time on the same tightrope, because one's going to knock one off. Either fear is going to prevail or faith is going to prevail. And you have the choice to decide, will it be fear or will it be faith? Today I want to talk to you about rethinking your thinking as we pray that thousands of people will get unstuck and really get into their call. In fact, I've been believing, praying with all the pastors at New Life Community Church and a whole bunch of people that after this series, there will be a lot of people at this church that will say, "Pastor, I'm unstuck and I'm ready to embrace my call. And I'm ready. I've been stuck for a while, but now I want to be used of God. I've been in the cave so long, I'm starting to look like a cave person, but I'm done with that. I want out of my cave. I want into my call, because I believe that everyone in this auditorium, you have a purpose. You have a mission. You have a talent. You have a gift. You have a call on your life. You may or may not be living that call, but there's not a person in this place that doesn't have a call on their life if you're following Jesus. Amen? And what would happen if thousands of people around this church got out of their cave and started to say, I have a call of God and I'm going to fulfill my call? It would blow the lid off of what God is going to do in this place. And that's what I'm praying for. Out of our cave and into our call. So if you're stuck today, is it okay that I teach today? Because sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach. Sometimes I teach and I go into preaching, and sometimes I preach and go into teaching. But today I'm going to teach a little bit. So take out your notepads, take out your pens, pay attention, because I'm going to give you some principles from the Word of God that if you learn these principles, they can be life-changing and life-transforming. So I'm going to give you four steps to start to rethink your thinking. Four steps. The most powerful transformation tool that you have today is the way you think. Now, the Bible says the way a man thinks, so is he. I was just talking to a young man last week after service who's had a radical transformation and conversion in his life and doing really, really well. But I told him, here's the thing with our life, what you need to keep in mind. When you come to God and you give your life to Christ, become a follower of Jesus Christ, there's something that happens immediately in your life. We call it, well, the Bible refers to it as being born again. But the transaction of being born again, what happens is that the Holy Spirit immediately clears your, the past that you have. He clears it, washes it. And then the Holy Spirit comes in you and he revives your spirit. So suddenly your spirit is awakened to God immediately. The problem is that God doesn't give us a brain transplant. Your spirit is new, but your mind is old. That your spirit suddenly is awakened to the presence of God and feels the power of God, and you can be changed by God. But the problem is that you still have the old brain. How many of you have felt the struggle? My spirit is new, but my mind is old. Your spirit wants to go in this direction, but you still have the old way of thinking. And what the Bible tells us is that you have to start changing the way you think. It's called the renewal of their mind, because your spirit is new, but your mind still needs to be transformed. Some of us never transform our mind, so our old mind keeps dragging us back to our old way of living, because although our spirit's new, our mind is old, and our wrong thinking keeps dragging us back into wrong living.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Rethink Your Thinking, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Unstuck. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Pastor Mark's message, Rethink Your Thinking.
Elijah is a great example of a man of God that was an extraordinary man of God. He was doing great things. He was at the top of his game, calling fire down from heaven, turning a nation to God, speaking on behalf of God. He's standing up to a wicked king. He confronts hundreds of prophets. God gives them his incredible victory on Mount Carmel, where all of the nation of Israel bows down and begins to proclaim that God is really Lord. And yet, well, something happens. That in just a few hours, he goes from a mighty man of God to a very discouraged individual, because the Bible says Elijah was afraid. So how do we rethink our thinking? If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Number one, recognize the triggers that open the doors to fear and sabotage your thinking. You got to recognize the triggers. Identify the triggers that open up the door to you to get full of fear and it affect your thinking. Verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Let me remind you that faith can fade quickly when we focus on a fear-filled future. You see, I believe that all of us are driven by the images that are in our head. And if the images in your head are wrong, then those images begin to dictate your future. Elijah was doing well when he thought that he would win. Elijah was doing great when he thought that he would turn the nation back to God. Elijah was on a mission. He believed that God had called him to this mission. He thought that he won the battle, and then suddenly there was a trigger point. A trigger point. Let me explain what a trigger point is, because in 1942, just before World War II happened, there was a doctor, medical researcher by the name of Janet Travail. She discovered that there are painful points in the human body that when you touch that painful point, it triggers a twitch or a response in another part of our body. In other words, a trigger point is when you touch this part of the body, it affects that part of the body. She discovered that our body is interrelated, that our nerve system is connected, that our joints are intertwined, and so that you can touch one part of the body and it affects another part of your body. That's a trigger point. Now, in the spiritual realm, a trigger point is the same thing. Some of us have a trigger that when that trigger is touched, and it's different for everybody in this room, but when that trigger is touched, it opens up the door for your entire thinking to be sabotaged, because there is a point in your life that there are certain things in your life that open up the door to fear, and when that door is open, you always know you spiral downward. You may know what your trigger point is. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you're a single girl and your trigger point is the thought that you're going to end up alone the rest of your life. So all you have to do is get a wedding invitation to a friend, to someone's wedding, and then suddenly you want to go out and buy 5 gallons of ice cream because you're depressed. Just, it's the trigger point. Someone else is getting married. You're never going to get married. You're never going to find the right guy. You're going to be alone. You're going to end up sad, lonely, depressed. It's the trigger point. It's the trigger point of thinking that I'm going to end up alone. Maybe you're here today and you're a young man trying to make a living and trying to go forward, and you have this idea in your mind, I'm never going to succeed. I'm always going to be stuck at a low-paying job. I'm never going to be able to pay for my family, my mortgage. And your trigger point is that you have a fear that you'll never be self-sustaining. You'll never be able to succeed. You'll never be able to live at a level that other people live or your parents lived. And so when someone says you're not going to make it, when you put in a job resume and you get rejected, it's your trigger point. You start feeling, I'll never get a job. It's never going to happen. I'll never be able to pay the bills. And suddenly you start viewing your future as, I'm going to live till I'm 54 in my mother's basement. It's a trigger point. Some of you are borderline hypochondriacs. You watch way too many of those medical movies. And you have a headache. And immediately you're like, oh, I know it's an aneurysm. Oh, I think I feel it. I feel, call the emergency room. Oh, I'm going to die early. What am I going to do with my kids? And it's a trigger point. You're always feeling like I'm sick, or I'm about to get sick, or I'm about to have a heart attack, or I'm about to have a major emergency, because there's a trigger point of fear in your life. And when you start, you think you're always having symptoms. You're always Googling something. And how many of you know when you Google symptoms, boy, you're going to get scared just reading the Google thing. Oh, I knew it. Well, what do you have? I have this strange disease that's only found in the jungles of Africa. I have all the symptoms there. Whoa. No. You just ate some bad pizza the night before. You don't have some strange disease. But some of you, it's the trigger point of health fear that gets you. Elijah had a trigger point. And it wasn't Jezebel. I believe his trigger point was the fact of, Elijah, you're going to fail at your mission. You're going to fail at what God has called you to do. And Jezebel said, tomorrow I will have your head on a platter. And then suddenly this mighty man of God, there was a trigger point that was hit. And suddenly he crumbles as he starts to get full of fear. And fear invades his thinking. And this is how it works. Suddenly fear invades his thinking, and he forgets all the good things that God has done. He forgets all the victories that he's had. He forgets everything and he starts focusing on, the Israelites are going to reject you. Everything that I've done is in vain. I'm alone. No one's going to follow me. Everybody's out to kill me. My life is a failure. I'm not going to accomplish the things that God has. He begins to see a picture of the future in which he's dead and Jezebel wins and the people of God are following Baal. And that's the mental image that begins to develop in his mind, because the mental image has been painted with the brushstrokes of fear and not the brushstrokes of faith. I want you to notice what happens to him. And it says, and Elijah was afraid. What are you afraid of today? Seriously. Because whatever you're most afraid of is what the enemy will use to trigger that fear-filled thinking in your mind. Whatever you're afraid of, fear of things and people and future is never of God. God is not the author of fear. Do you realize that in the Bible there are 366 times that it says, fear not? How many days of the year are there? 365. There are 366 injunctions in the Bible that say, fear not. There's an extra one for leap years, I guess, 366. But the fear not, 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 fear not. Why does he have to tell us 366 times? Because we're prone to fear. And every time we're invaded with fear, it drives out faith. Let me show you how it works in a story that you are probably very familiar with in the New Testament, Peter. You remember Peter? Peter was this impulsive man of God that some people say he had the mouth the shape of a shoe, because he always kept putting his foot in his mouth. He would say things spontaneously. Whatever was on his mind, he would say it. How many of you know people like that? How many of you are that? No, don't raise your hand. Peter was always just spontaneously making decisions. And, he was the first guy to want to do something, the first guy to jump out, the first guy to blurt out. He's the guy that took his sword and chopped off the ear of a servant. He's the guy that said, yeah, you are the Messiah, Jesus. And in this occasion, in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples and Peter are out on a boat. Now, Peter's a fisherman, so he knows the water very well. He's got his own boat. He's a fisherman. This is his tool of his trade. He understands the water. So they're out in a boat. There's a bit of a tempest going down. And as they're out in the boat with the disciples, Jesus, who had stayed on the shore, decides that he's going to make his way to Peter. And so he figures, I'll just walk on the water because, I don't want to swim. And so he walks on the water. Jesus comes walking out to Peter. Peter sees him in the beginning. They're all afraid. They think it's a ghost. What's going on? Jesus says, it's me. Don't be afraid. I'm walking on the water. Peter says, cool. It's not really in the Greek. It says cool, but he says something like, cool. I want to walk on the water too. So Jesus says, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter, this impulsive Peter, he jumps out of the boat and it says he got down and out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. And that had to feel amazing. He's walking on the water. None of the other disciples are walking on the water, but Peter's walking on the water. He's defying the laws of gravity. Because how many of you know that the spiritual laws can trump the natural laws?
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call, with the first half of his message called Rethink Your Thinking. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.